and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we bring you another hour of old radio comedy with Burns and Allen and Spike Jones. First, we have a truly memorable episode of Burns and Allen. After that, we have two 15-minute Spike Jones music comedy shows with Dorothy L'Amour and Hildegard as guest stars. First, when Gracie explains income tax to George's tax accountant, you won't be able to stop laughing. This is Burns and Allen Income Tax, first broadcast March 15th, 1950, on CBS.
Yes, it's the Amadeus Show, transcribed in Hollywood and starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. With yours truly, Bill Goodwin, Dee Benedera, Doris Singleton, Hal March, Marvin Miller, Harry Lubin, and the Amadeus Orchestra. For healthy laughter, it's George and Gracie. And for healthier teeth, for fewer cavities, it's Amadeus Toothpaste. Last night, George took Gracie to the ballet, and it's an evening he'll never forget. But he'd like to. To Gracie, it was a new and exciting experience, and she's still thrilled about it.
Oh, gee, everybody was there. Did you notice Bob Taylor and Barbara Stanwyck sitting in front of us?
Yeah, that Barbara Stanwyck certainly is gorgeous.
Oh, I'll say. Those actors really marry beautiful women, don't you, George?
Yes, that we do.
During intermission, there was some very exciting gossip in the powder room.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Harris said, I wonder why Sarah Treadwell didn't come to the ballet. So I said, well, maybe she had a fight with her husband. And she said, oh, not Sarah. And I said, well, I don't blame her if he's running around with another woman. And so she said, poor Sarah, who'll take care of their five children? And I said, well, not that no-good husband of hers.
Oh, that sounds real exciting.
Yes. It would be even more exciting if I knew who Sarah Treadwell was.
You don't know Sarah Treadwell?
I don't even know Mrs. Harris.
Interesting yarn. What did you think of the ballet?
Oh, I loved it. Although you dozed off a couple of times.
I ate too much dinner. Pickles were delicious.
But the dancers were so polite. They danced on their toes so they wouldn't wake you.
Well, to show my appreciation, I'll go backstage and teach them how to dance the Peabody.
Peabody? What's that?
He's a banjo player who's married to Sarah Treadwell.
Oh. You know, the last scene of the ballet disappointed me. Remember how that big, strong, handsome man chased the beautiful ballerina?
Yeah.
He chased her around that stage like she ran and he ran. She jumped and he jumped. She flew and he flew. When he finally caught her, boom, down came the curtain. I wish he had started chasing her 10 minutes sooner.
Well, we'll read about it in the Willa Parsons column. Honey, that was the idea of the ballet. When the fellow caught the girl, the show was over.
It's a good thing Bill Goodwin isn't a ballet dancer. The show would have been over in 2 minutes.
2 minutes? Bill is slowing up. Come in.
Hello, George.
Hello, Ralph. How are you? Gracie, you know Ralph Hanley. He makes out our income tax every year.
Oh, of course. How are you, Mr. Hanley?
Fine, thank you, Mrs. Burns.
George told me you were coming, so to help you, I figured out our income tax. You'll find it on the desk. The government owes us $6 million.
Mrs. Burns, how did you ever get such a figure?
Oh, no starches and plenty of extra fat.
Lots of fresh air, too.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Hanley, how come we never got the $9 million I figured the government owed us last year?
They're waiting until next year, and then they'll send us the state of Texas. Ralph, have you had breakfast? Would you like Gracie to scramble some eggs?
Oh, please, George, we're out of eggs.
The grocer left a dozen yesterday.
I know, but I heard about a new thing called an egg shampoo, so I tried it. And when I shampooed the eggs, they broke.
Just fix us some coffee.
All right.
Well, Ralph, how does the tax look this year?
Oh, about the same as last. But I've been listening to you sing on the program, and we can deduct for that throat operation.
I didn't have a throat operation.
I know, but you're going to, aren't you?
Just make out the tax. When I need bad jokes, I'll send for my writers.
I was only kidding, George. By the way, I see you're getting your money from a new source this year.
Yeah, I'm still married to Gracie. Oh! You mean the sponsor, the new sponsor?
Yeah, how are they?
Oh, they're wonderful people.
I've been using that Amadan toothpaste, and it's great.
Well, thanks, Ralph.
George, if you'll give me the canceled checks and records, I'll get busy. But please, don't let Gracie help me this year. Last year, when I took her to have some papers notarized, the man asked her to identify herself. So she opened her compact, looked in the mirror, and said, "Yes, it's me, all right."
Well, I'll see that she doesn't bother. Come in.
Hello, George. Is Gracie here? I'd like to speak to her.
Gracie, Harry Morton wants to see you.
I'll be right out.
Harry, this is Ralph Hanley, my income tax man.
Glad to know
how
you
doing, Mr. Morton.
What do you want to see Gracie about, Harry?
Well, tomorrow's Blanche's birthday, George, and I don't know what to get her. I thought maybe a diamond ring or a new car. By the way, Mr. Hanley, is that deductible?
No, it isn't.
I don't know what to get her. I thought maybe a handkerchief or bobby pin.
Pipe cleaners would be nice.
Hello, Harry.
Hello, Gracie.
George, I fixed some coffee for you and Mr. Hanley. You'll find it on the stove.
Thanks.
And I thought you'd like something to go with the coffee, so I made you some tea.
Good. Now we can dunk. Come on, Ralph. Let's go in the den and get started on the tag.
Gracie, I'm trying to decide what to give Blanche for her birthday. Have you heard her mention anything she'd like?
No, but why don't you get her a green necklace to match the gold bracelet you gave her for Christmas?
No, she's got enough jewelry. Say, do you think it'd be all right if I gave Blanche a pet?
Why not? You're married.
No, I mean something like a dog.
Oh, no, don't get a dog. I had one, and he couldn't even learn to run and fetch a stick. I threw that stick and brought it back between my teeth 100 times. That stupid dog just sat there and looked at me like I was crazy.
I wonder why. Yeah, you're right about the dog, Gracie. Perfume might be nice, or maybe a pretty nightgown.
Well, that's a good idea. Oh, I can just picture Blanche in a sheer black nightgown.
Me too. Well, there goes that idea. Think of something, Gracie.
Oh, I got it. A television set. My Uncle Fred just bought a beauty for
$12,500. $12,500 for a television set?
Well, that included the bar. That's what he really wanted.
Hey, I know what I'll get. Blanche has always wanted an alligator bag. I'll surprise her with that. I'll put it in the candy box so she won't guess what it is, and when she opens it up, she'll faint. Oh, this is a wonderful idea.
Oh, it's nothing. I've got a million of them.
I'll be running along.
George, Harry is leaving.
Hey, Harry. Before you go, the Friars are giving a little sociable Friday night. Would you like to be my guest? There'll be some swell entertainment. Jolson, Groucho, Crosby, Hope, Benny, Cantor, Jesse.
Well, I'd love to, George, but I can't Friday. Spade Cooley is on television.
Spade Cooley, huh? I'll bring the Friars to your house.
So long.
So long. Can you imagine a man being that stupid?
Isn't he a dope? Spade Cooley's on Saturday night.
Yeah, well, I better get back and help Ralph with the tax.
Oh, George, would you ask him how much a woman can deduct for a missing husband?
Who's missing?
Uncle Joe, Aunt Clara's husband. And if the government will allow
her to... I've seen Aunt Clara. Joe isn't missing. He's hiding.
Oh, no, George. He's missing. You see, Uncle Joe's hobby was blowing glass. Every night he'd sit on the back porch blowing glass. And one night he blew... I'll read it again, huh? Well,
let's take it again. Would you like to have me give you 2 beats?
No, I can't. Oh, no, John. George, he's missing.
This is Uncle Joe.
Yes.
Yeah.
You see, Uncle Joe's hobby was glass blowing.
Oh, he's a glass blower.
Every night he'd sit on the back porch blowing glass.
Yeah.
And one night he blew a bottle around himself.
He sat on the back porch and blew a bottle around himself?
Mm-hmm. And in the morning the milkman took him away with the empty.
Gracie, you don't believe that story, do you?
Well, why not? Lots of people have back porches.
Oh, yes, I forgot that,
Oh, and poor Aunt Clara had to support herself selling homemade bread.
Well, that's not easy.
Oh, Aunt Clara's a very smart businesswoman. She didn't sell her bread the day she made it. She kept it till the next day.
Why was that?
Well, that way it was very old bread and she could sell it cheaper.
Sounds right to me, isn't that funny? Well, Ralph can't help Aunt Clara. He specializes in actors. He just finished Jack Benny's income tax yesterday. When Benny heard the bad news, he went down to Max Factor's and tore his hair out.
Do actors have special deductions, Judge?
Sure. For example, the other day you bought stamps to answer my fan mail. That's deductible.
Gee, that's 3 cents right there.
Wait a minute. 3 cents? You told me you spent $32 in 3 cents. Explain that.
Well, you know how on the way to the post office you passed Bullock?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Look.
Excuse me, Mrs. Burns. I can't go on with your tax until you explain some of these expenses. Now, here's an item. $50 for 10 pogo sticks. Why did you buy 10?
That's all they had.
But, Mrs. Burns, what do you want with them?
Those sticks come in very handy in case you're attacked by a pogo.
George, where's the aspirin?
You'll find two bottles in the bottom drawer of the desk.
Thanks.
Gracie, just what is a pogo?
I don't know. But I couldn't tell him that. He might think I was dumb.
Now he thinks you're smart.
See, Judge, do you think our tax bill will be very high this year?
Yeah, but thank goodness for the community property law.
Community property law?
That's
right. What's that?
Well, it's a law that says that half of everything I've got is yours and half of everything you've got is mine.
Oh? Then how come I only get 1/4 of what we make?
Well, that's the way it works out. I'll show you. Now, here in my hand, I've got a dollar in change. Half of everything I've got is yours. Here's 50 cents.
Thank you.
Now, half of everything you've got is mine. How much have you got?
50 cents.
Give me a quarter. Well, you see how it works?
I see how it works. Let's do that again, and this time I'll start with a dollar.
Okay.
Now, half of everything I've got is yours.
Hmm.
Here's 50 cents.
Thanks.
How does that second part go again?
Half of everything you've got is mine. How much have you got?
50 cents.
Give me a quarter. Thanks.
You were right, George. It comes out the same way each time.
Well, sure.
You must get awfully discouraged being married to a man money.
Well, sometimes it comes in real handy.
This is Bill Goodwin, folks. Are you reducing tooth decay with Amident ammoniated toothpaste? Just think, till recently, no toothpaste or powder offered you the hope of fewer cavities. Then the great news broke. A sensational discovery to reduce tooth decay. An ammoniated dentifrice, Amident. Magazines and newspapers spread the news. Dentists hailed the arrival of Amident and recommended it to patients. Have you bought Amident for your family? Are your children fighting tooth decay every time they brush their teeth? If not, if you're using today the same toothpaste you used a year ago, your toothpaste is not ammoniated. Your toothpaste can do no more to prevent cavities than it did last year. So please, don't delay. Insist on Amident. Amident toothpaste and Amident tooth powder are recommended by more dentists than any other dentifrice.
Thank you.
I've been talking to Mr. Hanley about our income tax. I said, why does the government need so much money? And he said, because the government has got a $3 billion deficit.
That's right.
Well, why don't they buy a cheaper one?
They like the one with the rearview mirror.
The government needs our tax money to run the country. Part of it goes to pay the salaries of the president, the cabinet, the congressman.
George, do Republicans have to pay part of President Truman's salary?
Well, sure.
It's really rubbing it in, isn't it?
And the government needs money to run the Army and the Navy. Without soldiers and sailors, we wouldn't be safe.
I can see you've never been out with one.
And don't forget that our government is spending millions of dollars on European recovery. We send them food. That's called the ERP. And then there...
We ought to change that.
Change what?
The ERP. Sounds like our food gives them indigestion.
I'll talk to Sarah Treadwell. And Mrs. Harris.
I'm sorry to interrupt again, George, but these items are driving me nuts. Mrs. Burns, what is this? One wave, $110.
$110? Gracie, who gave you that wave?
Muriel Roberts. And when I waved back, I drove into a telephone pole.
Anything else you want to know, Ralph?
Yeah, give me some more aspirin.
Now, what are we talking about?
Interesting stuff. The taxes.
Well, now I'll show you how the government can save a fortune. Do away with the mint.
Do away with the mint?
Sure. Why
just do away with it?
Yes.
Yes.
Why print money? Why not buy it ready-made?
That's an idea.
We can buy it from China. I hear their money is very cheap.
Yes, we can get some in Macy's basement.
And another way our government can save money? Stop printing stamps. We don't need them anyway. My sister Bessie mails letters every day and never uses a stamp.
Then they must be returned.
Well, that's the idea. Bessie's crazy about the postman.
I wish Bessie would get married. Yeah. Come in.
Hi, Burns.
Oh, hello, Bill.
How are you, Bill? You still in love?
Oh, more than ever, Gracie. It was just a week ago today that I met Ann Nelson, so I went to buy her some flowers. And while I was standing there waiting for them, I realized that this was the only girl for me.
She really got you, huh?
Oh, man, wait till you meet this florist.
You fell in love with the florist? It's a good thing you buy your cigarettes from a machine.
Then what happened to Anne?
Well, certain people said that I was interested in Anne just for her money.
Who said that?
Her banker, when I checked her account.
Say, Bill, do you mean to say that you walked into this florist shop and fell in love with the girl just like that?
Oh, no, there was some dialogue first. I said, "Oh, miss, I'd like to buy some flowers." And she said, "Roses are nice." And I said, "Fine." She said, "How do you like the stems?" And I said, "Gorgeous." And the rest of you is cute, too, and we were engaged.
Well, there's nothing like a nice long courtship.
Gee, what a sweet girl, George. She gave me a carnation for my buttonhole.
Well, now that's a silly trade. What can she do with your buttonhole?
Press it in a book.
Say, Bill,
press it in a book.
Bill, I'm going to ask the Mortons over for dinner tomorrow night. It's Blanche's birthday. How about you and your girl joining us?
Oh, we'd love to, Gracie.
Well, good. I'll phone Blanche.
By the way, Bill, what's your girl's name?
Mona Knox. It used to be Ethel Knox, but the gasoline company paid her to change it.
My first name used to be Asbestos, but they paid me off, too.
Asbestos Burns. Asbestos. Oh, I guess. Now, boys, please, there's an artist phoning.
Oh, yes.
Hello?
Hello, Blanche. This is Gracie. Would you and Harry like to come over to dinner tomorrow night to celebrate your birthday?
Oh, I'd love to. I'll ask Harry and call you back.
All right. Incidentally, I helped Harry decide on your present. You'll love it.
Oh, what is it, Gracie?
Oh, I can't tell you. It's a surprise.
Oh, please.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me guess. Is it a new stove?
Well, you're so close, I might as well tell you. It's an alligator bag.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm glad you know, Blanche. He's going to put it in a candy box, and I was scared to death you might eat it.
Yeah. Well, I'll call you back, Gracie.
Bye.
Goodbye. Harry. Huh? Gracie just invited us over there tomorrow night for my birthday dinner.
Oh, murder. I hope Gracie doesn't bake you a cake. Remember that soggy thing she baked for George's last birthday?
Now, Harry, it wasn't her fault George's cake was soggy.
No?
No. Had so many candles, he couldn't blow them out. They had to turn the hose on them.
Why'd you stop exaggerating? George isn't as old as he looks.
He couldn't be.
I've got news for you. 18 years with Gracie and Butch Jenkins would look like that. Poor George is over there right now trying to figure out his income tax. Believe me, it would be a lot easier if it weren't for Gracie.
I'll say it would. He wouldn't have any. I don't see how that schnooked into marrying him.
He didn't trick her. She wanted to get married the worst way.
Well, she did.
Aren't we clever today?
I don't care. I love Gracie. She's very sweet to give me a birthday dinner.
Yeah, I can't wait to get there. Last time I went over there to dinner, someone told Gracie that stewed chicken was the most tender. When I got there, George was trying to sober it up so he could kill it.
Well. Anyway, her cooking is a lot better than Sugar Throat's entertaining. So help me, if he sings tomorrow night, I'll slug him with my new alligator bag.
Alligator, so Gracie told you. I should have known I couldn't trust her.
Well, it's really my fault, she told me. I put the idea into her head.
Blanche, putting an idea into her head is like putting a basketball into a thimble.
Oh, hush. I'll tell her we're coming.
Gracie, this is Blanche. We'll be there for dinner tomorrow night.
Oh, good. We'll expect you, Blanche. Oh, what kind of mince do you like? Wintergreen or cloves?
Why?
I'm making hot mince pie.
We're on a diet, Gracie. See you tomorrow night. Goodbye.
Bye. George, where did Bill go?
His girl Mona sitting out in the car. I told him to bring her in.
Oh, isn't it wonderful? At last, Bill is really in love.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't meet anybody on the way out to the car. What a guy. A new romance every week.
George, it's me again. Mrs. Burns, can you explain this item? One rubber boot for left foot, $10.
Well, what do you want explained?
Why did you buy it?
It was a bargain. I got it for half what a pair would cost.
But why did you buy one left boot?
I've only got one left foot.
Satisfied, Ralph?
Oh, sure. I'll go in and finish the income tax.
Income tax?
Yeah.
Hey, Ralph, you're going in the closet.
Oh, pardon me.
I'm a little worried about that guy. Did you notice that dazed look on his face?
Oh, that's nothing. Almost everybody I talk to has that look.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm still...
George and Gracie, I'd like you to meet my fiancée, Miss Knott.
Mona, this is Mr. and Mrs. Burns.
Oh, how do you do? Nice to meet you. Bill has told me all about you. He says you've been working for him for almost 10 years.
That's what Bill told you.
Yeah. He says you're a wonderful announcer.
Bill, this may come as a surprise, but I'm thinking very seriously of leaving you.
George, Gracie, come here a minute. Play along with me. I'm trying to make an impression.
Oh, okay. Mona, we're all going to play along with Bill.
Gracie! Mona is not in on this.
Oh, forget it, Mona.
As I was saying, Mona, George has been announcing for me for 10 years. Is that right, boy?
Yes, sir.
Boy?
I say funny things. I'm a comedian.
And what do you do, Mrs. Burns?
Oh, I help my husband. He's one of the greatest announcers in the radio business. He has a beautiful voice.
Oh, I'd love to hear it. Won't you show me what you do, Mr. Burns?
Oh, he'll be glad to. Listen. Are you reducing tooth decay with amident ammoniated tooth... Take it, George.
Paste.
Amidon tastes delightful. It leaves your teeth bright and sparkling, your mouth feeling fresh and clean. Amidon is a grand wake-up tooth...
Paste.
Amidon is recommended by more dentists than any other dentifrice. Give your entire family the protection of Amidon ammoniated tooth...
Would somebody hand me a glass of water, please?
Yeah, here.
Paste.
Okay, now, George, that's enough. Mona, even if it means losing you, I've got to tell the truth. George isn't the announcer. Amident's a great product, and they have the world's greatest announcer to talk about it. But I was just too modest to tell you it was me.
Yes, Mona, he's a real shy boy.
Mr. Burns, if you're not the announcer, what do you do?
Well, sit down and show us, Sugar Throat.
And if I call you Buttercup, the dandelions might eat you up. So buy a ring and change your name to mine.
That's what I do.
Oh, you're the sound effects man.
No, I'm the script girl.
I've got another item here, Mrs. Burns.
Folks, I want you to meet Mr. Hanley.
How do you do, Mr. Hanley?
Oh, I'll be right in, Ralph. See you tomorrow night, Bill. And we're having the same dinner we had the last time you were here. So will you stop by the Brown Derby and ask them to send over a bottle of bourbon?
Stewed chicken again, huh?
Well, excuse me. I'll go in and see Ralph.
Hey, George. Who's the guy with the loose shingle? One of Gracie's relatives?
Yeah, he's our tax man. He's trying to figure out Gracie's check stubs.
Oh, well, that explains it. Come on, Mona. So long, George.
Bye.
Bye. 4 years with the Pee Wee Quartet, and she calls me a sound effects man.
I love to call you Rose, dear, but roses fade away. Roses die when winter time fades. I love to call you Daisy. Oh, Daisy's all. Oh, yes.
I don't think Ralph Hanley should do our tax. He's too nervous. You know, he asked me why I bought 1,000 ping-pong balls, and when I told him, he seemed upset.
Well, why did you buy them?
Well, I used them instead of mothballs. They don't smell up the closet.
But they don't kill any moths.
Oh, yes, they do. When the moths bite into them, there's nothing there, and they starve to death.
Don't let anybody steal this idea from me. I'll get it. Hello?
George, this is Harry Morton. I'm coming over to help you with your income tax.
Harry, I've got a tax man.
You had one. He just jumped out your window and he's running down the street.
Thanks, Harry. Gracie, come over here to the window. Look at Ralph Hanley running down the street.
Mine's flying, isn't he?
Yes. And do you know why?
Oh, sure. He's got to get that tax to Washington by March 15th.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Gracie will return in just a moment. Join us again next Wednesday when we'll all be back. George Burns, Gracie Allen, Harry Lubin and the Amident Orchestra, and yours truly, Bill Goodwin. Brought to you by the makers of Amident, the ammoniated toothpaste and tooth powder. Recommended by more dentists than any other dentifrice.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have two 15-minute episodes of Corns A-Poppin' with Spike Jones and his City Slickers. Also appearing are guest star Dorothy L'Amour in the first episode and the famous cabaret singer Hildegard in the second episode. The show was sponsored in 1947 by Coca-Cola for CBS. Both of these shows are decommercialized versions rebroadcast for American troops over Armed Forces Radio Service. Enjoy Corns A-Poppin' number 51 with Spike Jones and Dorothy L'Amour, rebroadcast over AFRS.
Corns A-Poppin'! Poppin', so get out the butter and the salt and listen to that musical moron, Spike Jones and his City Slickers.
Music sounds awful. I thought you fellas were going to rehearse all week.
We couldn't, Mr. Jones. It rained all week.
Rained? I want to make something clear to you guys. It did not rain in Los Angeles. You understand? It did not rain in Los Angeles. Now pick up your instruments and let me hear you play. That's orange juice.
By the sea, by the sea, by the beautiful sea, you and me, oh how happy we'll be. When each wave comes up, rolling in, we will sink or swim,
and we'll float and play around the water,
over and under, and then up for air. My's rich, my's rich, so now what do we care? I love to be beside your side, beside the sea, side, by the beautiful sea.
Thank you, music lovers. Tonight you'll notice that we have three experts seated at our musical round table. They're going to discuss the works of the famous composer, Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky, who created such beautiful music as the Romeo and Juliet Overture, which you will recognize as... like Romeo and Joliet. And the Tchaikovsky Piano Concerto, whose melodious theme springs to mind as you hear. And of course, there is the wonderful music of the Third Symphony.
That's the great thing about Tchaikovsky. When you've heard one thing he wrote, you've heard them all. Now let's throw the subject open for discussion. Have any of you experts anything to say? Dr. Morgan, what do you think of Tchaikovsky?
I think it's one of the finest breakfast foods on the market.
Tchaikovsky is not a breakfast food. He's a composer like Beethoven or Shostakovich.
Oh, that's my favorite song.
What is?
Shostakovich small by a waterfall.
Dr. Morgan, how can you account for your utter lack of knowledge about music?
I've been with your band for 6 years.
Well, as long as you have a reason. And thank you very much, Dr. Morgan. Your contribution to our discussion... I say your contribution, Dr. Morgan, to our discussion has been practically nil.
What?
I said nil. Don't you know what nil is?
Sure. When two nails get married, they have a little nil.
Dr. Morgan, sit down. I now call upon our next musical expert, Sir Frederick Gass.
Oh, Mr. Jones, let's not be so formal. You may call me what all my friends call me.
What's that?
Baldy.
Baldy? How can you be bald if you have so much hair?
I belong to a strong union.
Well, Sir Frederick, have you any interesting facts about Tchaikovsky?
I have, Mr. Jones. I have Mr. Jones. What am I doing with a skinny old thing like him?
Now, let's stick to the facts. What do you know about Tchaikovsky?
Well, he was born in 1840. And when he walked into the Moscow Opera House in 1902, he caused quite a sensation.
Why?
He died in 1893.
Thank you, Sir Frederick Gass. The third member of our panel is rather unusual. He's a child prodigy with an amazing mind. His name is George Rock. Georgie? Well, Georgie, it's good to see you. Georgie, why did you kiss me?
I always kiss my daddy when he's shaving.
You're very affectionate.
No, it's just that he hasn't got a razor and I've got a very sharp tongue.
Georgie, you got a wonderful head on your shoulders.
Well, thank you.
It's too bad your stomach hides it. Georgie, you ought to know something about Tchaikovsky because his Nutcracker Suite is a favorite with children.
Yeah, I know. When I was only 6 years old, I played the Nutcracker Suite entirely by ear.
Oh, how did it sound?
I couldn't tell. By the time I got through, my ears were full of shells.
Thank you, Pear-shaped. But now it's time for us...
Hello, Spike.
Why, it's our lovely guest star, the glamorous Dorothy L'Amour. Dorothy, did you hear our roundtable discussion?
Yes, I did, Spike, and you have some nerve palming off those corn huskers as experts.
What's wrong with my musicians?
What's wrong with them? Take a look at them. Get a load of that one over there sitting there with the skinny legs and all the wrinkles on his face.
Dorothy, that's my washboard.
Well, it looks more intelligent than the musicians.
Gosh, Dorothy, I hope you haven't hurt the fellas' feelings. They were looking forward to your visit here. Jack, tell Miss L'Amour what you told me before, will you?
Well, all I said, Miss L'Amour, was that I hope you'd make some more of those pictures with Bob Hope and Bing Crosby where you wore a sarong. They were wonderful.
Really?
Yes. It made it so easy to tell which one was the girl.
Oh! One of the big musical hits of the day is a tune about some celestial cowpokes riding in a happy haunting ground, as sung by some of our better singers, and also Von Monroe. Well, here is our special Spook Jones arrangement of Ghost Riders in the Sky.
An old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way.
When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw,
a-plowing through the ragged sky, and up a cloudy draw.
Yippee-yay-yay.
Yippee-yay-yay.
Yippee-yay-o.
Yippee-yay-o. The ghost rider's in the sky. One, two, three. When do I come in, old-timer?
In this song, it don't matter, partner. Go ahead, sing.
Their faces gaunt, their eyes were blurred, their shirts all wet with sweat.
Don't be half safe.
I didn't try to catch that herd, but they ain't caught him yet.
Get along, little doggies. 'Cause you got to ride forever on the range up in the sky.
On horses snorting fire.
Is that possible?
How would I know? As they ride on, hear their cry.
This is on the hit parade? Hoi. E-P-I-A.
E-P-I-A.
E-P-I-O.
E-P-I-O.
Ghost Riders in the Sky.
Marching home again, hooray, hooray. He'll make the guy who wrote the song pay and pay. 'Cause all we hear is Ghost Riders sung by Von Monroe.
I can do without his singing,
but I wish I had his dog.
Jones, his city slickers, and a host of musical morons. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
This is Corns a Poppin' number 39 with Spike Jones and Hildegard, rebroadcast over AFRS.
Corns a Poppin'! Yes, the corn's really poppin', so while it's hot, let's pass the butter as we join the group All America has voted the musical morons most likely to succeed. With Doodles Weaver as Professor Fiedelbaum, George Rock, Dick and Freddie Morgan, and Sir Frederick Gass. And speaking of Gass, here's the one and only, in fact the matchless, the man to touch it off, Spike Jones and the City Slickers.
Thank you, music lovers. Tonight, our nutty nomads have dragged their baggage into Charlotte, North Carolina. Ah, Charlotte, on the banks of the crystal clear Catawba River. And tonight, as number three in our Seeing America with Spike series, we take you on a radio sightseeing tour of the beautiful state of North Carolina. You have just heard Lamar Stringfield conducting the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra. Our tour of North Carolina starts in the tobacco country. 150 years ago, on a spot near Goldsboro, two Indians met.
Me Indian. Me name, Big Chief Winston.
What you doing?
Me build them canoe.
What you do with canoe, Winston?
Sail him.
So the town of Winston-Salem was founded. Now it is the center of the tobacco industry. And as we walk down a country road, we overhear a couple of natives talking to one another. Hiya.
Not so good.
What's the matter?
I've been buying tobacco for now on the 40 years.
What's wrong with that?
I'm only 25 years old.
Knowing that he's never going to reach 26, we move on and decide to pay a visit to a cigarette factory and see how they are made. Towards the back of the factory stands a worker who seems to have an important job. What, we ask him, do you do?
I'm a cigarette snipper!
A cigarette snipper?
Yes! I'm vice president in charge of going snip, snip, snip.
Tell us, sir, exactly what does your job consist of?
Well, the cigarettes come out of this machine, and I stand with my little scissors and snip them off so they're the right size.
king-size moron to his work, we leave the cigarette factory. Continuing our tour, we pass many beautiful homes. We stop at one, a palatial mansion with 92 rooms. Wanting to meet the owner, we knock on the door. It opens. And a man says to us,
I have $28 million.
Gad, sir, that's quite a fortune. How did you make it?
From the tobacco industry.
Oh, do you, you grow tobacco?
No.
Do you manufacture cigarettes?
No.
Then how did you make $28 million from the tobacco industry?
I invented the ashtray.
Emptying him into the waste paper basket, we leave Tobacco Land, and as we do, we can hear the natives singing.
Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette!
That was the Smoky Mountain Trio. So round, so round, so firm, so fully packed. Our tour now takes us to Charlotte, North Carolina. In this part of the state, a different type of manufacturing takes place. We pass a hosiery mill humming with activity.
With activity.
We pass furniture factories, textile mills, and the Cannon Towel Factory. We stop a moment and ask a question. How many Cannon towels do you manufacture?
20,000 a day.
We are amazed, for we did not know that there were that many dirty cannons in the country. On our way back to our hotel, we strolled down. We almost didn't make it off the curb. We strolled down Tryon Street. There is not an automobile in sight. A lone pedestrian stands on the street corner, and we wonder aloud, where is all the traffic? We were told that Tryon Street is a very crowded street.
Oh, we got a new traffic engineer. He made all the streets in Charlotte one-way streets running south.
Well, he certainly relieved the traffic congestion.
Yeah, but there are now 79,000 cars in Fort Mill.
Thanking Mayor Baxter for his help, we arrive at our hotel. We're exhausted by our tour, so we decide to lie down and take a nap. Just as we are about to fall asleep, we are awakened by a noise in the next room.
Darling, je vous aime beaucoup. Je ne sais pas what to do. You know, you've completely...
We go next door and say, would you mind cutting out that racket? I'm trying to sleep.
Racket? Why, Spike Jones, with your music, you're a fine one to talk about making a racket.
Why, it's Hildegard. Hildegard, what are you doing in Charlotte?
Well, I'm on my way to play an engagement at the Statler Hotel in Washington, Spike. And I just left beautiful Florida. Oh, I just adore Florida. Spike, did I say something wrong?
Yes, Florida. The Slickers are from California.
Oh!
But Hildegard, we're all waiting to hear you sing. We've been rehearsing your music all morning.
Oh, you have? Well, how do your musicians like my arrangement?
What musicians? I mean, oh, excuse me. I'll ask them, Hildegard. Fellas, how do you like Hildegard's arrangement? She means her music.
Oh, can't the boys dream of it?
Well, sure. I think you better go ahead and sing, huh, Hildy?
All right, bye.
Should care for me. Thoughtful night, paradise, what I love to see. You've made my life so glamorous. You can't blame me for feeling amorous. Oh, it's wonderful, marvelous, that you should
will care for me. My dear, it's four-leaf clover time. From now on, my heart's working overtime. Oh, it's wonderful, marvelous, that you should care for me.
Wonderful, Hildegard. And now we'd like to
fight
Professor Fiedelbaum. Yeah! Tell me, Professor, are you having fun in Charlotte?
Oh, yes. Last night I took a girl to a drive-in theater. We had popcorn and Coca-Cola. Then she put her head on my shoulder.
Hey, you really had a good time at that drive-in theater.
Yes.
Huh?
Next time we're going to go in a car. Now let's turn to the funny stuff. Tonight I shall sing a tender ballad entitled Carolina Moon, dedicated to this beautiful state. Am I on voice?
Sounds like the Carolina Moon came over the mountain with Kate Smith sitting on top of it.
Carolina Goon. Carolina Loon. Carolina Spoon. A spittoon. A lagoon. Baboon. Carolina, too. Wisconsin in June. South Dakota. No, Minnesota. No, Bermuda. Catalina, Wyoming. Homie in the gloaming. China. China. I'd like to get you on a small boat. Wrong song. I better start again. Carolina moon keeps shining, shining on the one who waits for me. Carolina moon, I'm pining, pining, because I'm homely as can be. I'm not only homely, I'm so funny looking, I used to work in a freak show. My roommate was the India Rubber Man. He was a bounder. They caught him bouncing a check, and now he's doing a stretch at Sing Sing. Yarka, yarka! Oh, I'm hoping tonight you'll go to the left, right, no, left, right, left, right, left, right. What do you know? I'm back in jail again. You know, there was a prisoner right in front of me, and the judge says, what did you do? And he says, well, I'm an electrician. And the judge says, what's your name? And he said, Sparks. And the judge says, what are you in for? He said, assault and battery. And the judge says, put him in a dry cell. That's a current joke. You want to know something? My father was an electrician. I was his first shock. Carolina, spend on your life. Say, I'm all right, please do. I've lost, doesn't make any difference. Carolina Moon. Speaking of moons, reminds me of those mysterious spooky shows like Inner Sanctum. That's where the door opens with a creak. Big door. And from out of nowhere comes a voice that says, trick or treat. Carolina Moon keeps shining, shining on the one who hates. Dates. Grates. Gates. A horse's gates. A horse. And there they go. It's little Germaine in front. Greensboro, Shrine Club, Sydney Ann Close, Edel Geek, and Box Springs. Looks like a sleeper. Ha! Not bad. Dreamy Carolina boy.
You've been listening to Corns a Poppin', originally released as Spotlight Review by CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System, for listeners in the United States. This program has been rebroadcast for United States servicemen and women overseas. Speaking, this is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.